Bienvenidos, damas y caballeros. Welcome back to Freeform Radio on the Freeform Network. Remember to send in those questions and suggestions, ffnquestions@gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, Freeform Network. If you see our YouTube link, click a quick like on those videos. We really appreciate it. But for Freeform Radio, my name is Daniel. With me today is Andy.
It's all good. We're all here. You know, almost all of us, but we're here. What's going on, everybody?
Yes, sir. We're here hanging out. It's kind of early in the morning, getting this recording in. The weather seems like it's going to be half decent, nice for the first half, and then some thunderstorms are scheduled in for later on. So hopefully they're not too bad and don't disrupt our afternoon. But yeah, we're back together here, getting together and kind of have a little quick conversation about what we've been up to and this article that Andy found. So let's jump into it, man. I want to tell you about, Andy, this documentary that I saw on Netflix. It's Sons of Sam's. Have you heard about that one?
No, but I'm guessing it's something with the murder, the serial killer, or no?
Right. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. It's a documentary about the Summer of Sam, or the Son of Sam. I think the Summer of Sam is the name of the movie with that Puerto Rican guy. I forget his name.
Leguizamo,
but the son
only bang his wife missionary, no other position.
Right, he only had the basic stuff.
Yeah,
right? I thought that was a funny movie. I wonder if there's people like that, man, where they're like, you know, kind of like Elvis supposedly couldn't have sex with his wife after she had a baby because she's like, I don't have sex with the mamas or something like that. Yeah. So I wonder if there are people with like those quirks that, you know, they have difficulty being intimate with their, you know, their girlfriends or whatever.
I'm guessing so. People get into weird shit. But going back to your little doc, that when I saw Sons of Sam, I'm like, it's probably something with the serial killer from New York. And the first thing that popped into the only first really remember is watching that movie. And I really don't remember much about the movie. I just remember that character saying, like, yeah, I only have sex with my wife missionary. And, like, that's his reason he would cheat on her and do all this crazy shit with other women. Because he's like, that's my wife, bro. I don't want to, like, defile her, you know?
Yeah.
That's all I remember from that movie.
Yeah, he wanted to, like, experiment with other stuff. Yeah. And nothing too crude, or at least not at first. But, he couldn't try any of those other things. It was just like, this is what's normal, just missionary, and that's it. That's all I'm gonna do.
That's my wife.
Right. It's actually a pretty good movie. I've been meaning to watch it again, especially after I watched this documentary, and kind of see, now that I have a little more knowledge on, I've seen this documentary plus another one of The Son of Sam, and I'm kind of curious as to how true the movie stays with the legend or supposedly the case. But yeah, the Son of Sam's Netflix documentary, it's like a 3 or 4 part episode, and it goes into like this alternative theory on the Son of Sam. A lot of people remember the Son of Sam as being like this serial killer that would just go around and shooting like couples and people just at random. You know, they couldn't really find a pattern. It was just young people just out and about, you know, usually enjoying the night, you know, going out to a club, going out to eat, going out on dates. Yeah, there was a few people on like, you know, make out or whatever they call those like zones where, you know, people go make out point, right? So there was a few people in those as well. But yeah, they finally caught this guy, and he was like a post office worker. I forget his name already, but he was like a postal worker.
Something.
Well, he said that Sam, the reason why he took the name Sam, he said that the dog's name was Sam, and the Sam was possessed by the devil and was giving him, like, do this, do that, you know, was talking to him or supposedly. So that's why the whole serial killer, you know, kind of like the Zodiac killer took on the name, the Zodiac.
David Berkowitz.
That's the guy. Yeah, so he's a postal worker that got caught. Funny, he got caught for just parking and getting a parking ticket. So he got a parking ticket and it got, you know, somehow tied back together to the murders. But this documentary goes into like an alternative theory. A lot of the, even in the other documentary that I saw that didn't really delve into this alternative theory, they didn't really mention anything like that at all. They did mention how a lot of the witnesses that did survive, a lot of survivors and even witnesses of these crimes, they had different descriptions of the killer. So every time the police would give like this bulletin, like this is what the killer looks like, it looks slightly different from the previous person or the previous survivor. So what this documentary kind of delves into is that there was a group of people that were involved in this killing. It wasn't just David Berkowitz. It was this group of people, and they were satanic worshipers. That's where the whole devil angle comes from. This guy, you know, that angle is true. He was getting this information from the devil, but it was because he was in a group of satanic worshipers that were located in that, you know, those close to those suburbs. I forget where he particularly lived, but like in that neighborhood, there was a group of people that were into satanic worship. And it looks like it's wide branched according to the documentary. You know, it goes as far as Hollywood, goes off to like this North Dakota town, and
yeah, I remember after watching that movie, I watched something on him on the History Channel. They did one of those 40-minute quick things. And I remember they had one guy on there that kind of thought there was more than – it was more people. It wasn't just him. And I remember all the devil-worshipping stuff, but everybody that worked the case, say it's him, and he's like, well, they did that because – like New York was like going fucking crazy, like because you know, all these the serial killer, and then it was like a really hot summer and people were already like amped up because it was hot, and then they were having problems with blackouts because the grid couldn't handle all this energy consumption or some shit, and like it was like all this like perfect storm shit, so they're like, we got to get this wrapped up. And but they kind of dismissed the guy that was saying there was more. It was a group or something, like you're saying, a group, or there was more than one of them.
Right, exactly. And you're right. The documentary does kind of dive into that, how there was like this perfect storm sort of thing. They were having financial issues in New York, you know, paying for the police, paying for government. And there was just a bunch of financial issues. There was just crime running rapid. And because of the money issues with the government, a lot of the police force was cut back until this, you know, the serial killer. So then that's when the police force started ramping up and they started like putting more money into the police department. And it kind of makes sense to me, Andy, how they caught this guy and they're just like, there might be this other angle. Do we pursue it? And they're like, no, we got to justify to the people that we caught the killer. There is no more. All right, you guys spent whatever it was, $1 billion in trying to do this and catch it and overtime and all these resources. We caught the guy. It's worth it. The case is closed. I could understand how they would do that so that it's behind them. It shows a conclusion and you see like it, you know, it was all this money and this was the results, instead of it was all this money and we still don't have it figured out. It looks like it's a bigger thing. So I could see that.
So it makes sense because unfortunately law enforcement in this country, especially like in the last 30 years, does have a track record of like, we need to resolve this. And they have railroaded people in the past. Like look at the Atlanta Olympic bombing in Atlanta. I can't think of the guy's name. They just made a movie about it. He, like the FBI says, this has to be the guy, and they started tricking him and stuff. They put it on the news because they're like, we need to wrap this shit up and we need to show that we're like in control. And like that happened in New York, not all the time, but when they struggle, yeah, you could see that, like, it has, we need to wrap this up, and that's when mistakes and, like, other shit happens, and there's a lot of pressure from the local governments, like, you need to fucking get this, you need to finish this up, like, you need to catch this guy.
Right. Now, there's a few things in the documentary that I was kind of like, it's a little much of a stretch, you know. I'm trying to be open-minded. I'm trying to listen to this alternative theory. But at the same time, it towards the end, it got kind of like that other documentary with the Hellions that you made me watch, the one on Amazon.
Oh, Hellier.
Hellier.
Yeah. It was great, and then it got weird at the last episode. I'm like, I don't know what the fuck's going on no more.
Right. This wasn't that bad, but I started, like, towards the end, like, all right, you're starting to get to, like, the minutia part of this is why it was devil worshippers, to where the point where, like, this is so thin that I don't know if this is, like, really compelling evidence that this was true. But either way, it did make me believe that there is something else there. And unfortunately, it's been so long that I don't know if they're going to ever find out the 100% truth. And what's funny is that the killer, the son of Sam guy, Berkowitz, he came out years later as like a reborn Christian, and he found Jesus, and he tried to kind of spill a little bit of what was going on, and he was kind of reinforcing the devil worshiper angle stuff with a clan of people, and nobody wanted to listen to him, man, except for this one guy that kept fighting that, yeah, see this, you know, because the whole movie is based basically on one guy that wrote a book based on this theory, and the whole documentary is kind of built around him, and he's the one that finally goes and interviews the son of Sam guy. And
to get back to Berkowitz, he never said, well, he's always he never said, like, no, it wasn't me, there was other people in the group. Or he did come out, because that's my understanding, he never really came out, even after he became a reborn Christian, and said, like, no, yeah, I was part of this, and, you know, there was other people involved. He never really came out and said that, right, in any interviews, because I think he's still alive.
Well, he did come out and say it, but a lot of people rebuke it because they think this guy was leading him on, like, this is the way you did it, right? And then Berkowitz would just go, like, yes, that's the way it was. And then this was the thing that you did, right? And then Berkowitz would be like, yes. So they kind of, like, dismiss that testimony. They're like, he led the witness kind of thing, where he put those words into his mouth instead of letting him bring those words out. So I could kind of see that, too, because some people, I mean, it's real famous with this Making a Murderer, the previous Netflix big documentary, where they think they, you know, a lot of people claimed they led the cousin or the nephew, I forget, the younger kid that got, you know, tied up with the whole thing, that they kind of, like, pushed them, like, yeah, you killed her, right? You choked her, right? Yeah, you had tied her up, right? And then the kid was just like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You used that rope that you had in your garage, right?
Oh. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So it was sort of like that. So I could see it either way, but he, you know, technically he was a reborn Christian, so would he lie? Would he let somebody kind of force him into a statement, or would he be like, no, that's not true. I confess to my sins, and, you know, I did it, and I'm gonna pay for my sins. Or would he go along and say, yes, yeah, there was other people, but, you know, because he kept kind of alluding to, you know, that's not for me to judge, or that's not for me to say anymore. He's like, I'm just trying to get good with God for myself, kind of thing. So
yeah, I think he, I heard it, if he's truly a reborn Christian, he would have said, like, yeah, I was part of this group, and there was more than one. But he's always, like, he never said, like, nah, I only did this one, and the other ones, there was other people. He's never said that.
Well, in the documentary, it goes into some of that. It's a pretty good documentary if you're curious into it. A lot of things, I'm kind of crazy sometimes when I watch documentaries like this. But I don't know, for some reason, it, like, fascinates me the mind of these people sometimes, and what are they thinking? And I kind of like watching the puzzles being put together into a crime being solved. For some reason, that kind of tickles my brain a little bit, and it just piques my curiosity. Like, how are they going to catch this guy? What's going to happen? And you know, when pieces come together, it's cool to watch it come to a finale. So, cool documentary. Gets a little loose at the end with all these facts, but really good nonetheless. And I would recommend for people to watch it if you're interested. The other thing that I watched was one of those action movies, Wrath of Man. I don't know if you've heard of that one, Andy.
No.
Wrath of Man. It's got with that star that Noel likes, Jason Stamos or Jason...
Uncle Jesse?
No. That's who Jason Stamos is?
The guy from the Marvel movie or that Noel, and he did that other like independent. I think I saw it on Hulu. I saw the movie he was talking about.
El Pelon, the one that's he's like does all these action movies. He's
Jason Statham.
Statham, that guy, yeah. Jason Statham.
He's like, I gotta fuck to keep my heart rate going.
Yes, that guy.
That awful movie, Adrenaline or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, so that guy's in this movie, and the action was super cool. He kind of plays like a John Wick guy, which who doesn't nowadays? You know, they always play that, you know, sort of, you know, badass, nothing could beat him kind of thing. And it's got like a thriller kind of Pulp Fiction vibe to it, where there's like a mystery that's, you know, you're like, like the middle of it, and then it takes you towards the end of the movie. Then like three quarters of the way down the movie, it flashes you back to the start. You see how everything developed, and then you finally get tossed back to the end and then watch the finale of how everything wraps up, which I gotta be honest, I loved Pulp Fiction, man. I loved Quentin Tarantino and the way he put it together. The first time I watched it, I understood exactly what was going on. I didn't get lost with the time loop back and forth. I didn't understand how Vince Vaughn was still alive at first, but then I realized that we're going back in time kind of thing, and you're kind of seeing a snippet in the past. But with this movie, I did get lost, man. I kind of didn't know where they were in the movie until the very end when me and Alana talked about it, and we're just like, well, I don't get this part, and I don't get that part. And then finally, it was just like, oh, okay, so that's what was going on. And then it kind of wrapped it around. But there was still a lot of confusing parts to it. I didn't really get who he was towards the end of the movie. At first, he's playing like this, like just like this nobody guy that he gets a job being an armor card driver guard, you know, kind of like you had.
Uh-huh.
And I was even mentioning to Alana, I'm like, yeah, Andy used to be one of these guys.
My life movie, man.
Yeah, and she's just like, really? And I'm like, yeah, Andy used to carry a gun and take money around to jewels and casinos and whatnot and kind of deliver money. But anyways, that's how the movie starts. He just starts off as just a regular Joe kind of guy. And then the movie alludes to he's some kind of like big mobster, gangster, boss man in some kind of like crime syndicate. And that's where I was just like, what is going on? And at the very end, I couldn't understand if he was like the super top don boss, or if he was just like one of the henchmen, or he was just like, you know, like a captain kind of guy. So I got kind of lost towards the middle just because it kept flashing back and forth. And I didn't know if he was just a peon or some head guy. But putting that aside, the movie was pretty good. It had a really good action scenes. It was really good seeing how some of the crime, because they would go into, we need to break into this place, how do we do it? And they figured it out, and they had some good like clever things to do. So it was half decent, but to me it kind of falls into that B-class movie, kind of the stuff that you like to watch, Andy.
Yeah, man, a good, nothing beats a good B movie, but like it has like a plot like something out of the 80s. Like when he told me, it's like, oh, he's just an armored guy, but he might be the boss. It reminds me of the Seagal movie where he's on a ship and everybody's like, the chef, the cook, and he's like this fucking badass Navy SEAL or something, and now he's on a fucking carrier just cooking for sailors, but he was really like a badass.
Yeah, what and is Gary that? Busey, siege or something?
Yeah, siege, under siege or something.
Under siege. There you go.
And then Gary Busey and him have to like fucking fight and shit. That's like the first thing that popped in my head. Like, yeah, man, I think this is a Steven Seagal remake or some shit.
I totally forgot about that movie. I remember the cover art, and I kind of vaguely remember the movie. It had that one hot Baywatch chick in it.
Yeah, like she was like coming
out of a cake or something.
Yeah, right. The admiral's fucking birthday or something, and like these terrorists take it over. And she was like on Playboy and I think on Baywatch, yes.
Yeah, I remember she was a really hot actress at the time. She was, you know, coming out of Baywatch and starting to do movies and whatnot. But yeah, I totally forgot the whole plot point of that movie. I just know that Steven Seagal started going off the deep end after that. He did that the one on the train where there's like a runaway train, and I forget what the name. I think
that's the sequel to that one.
Oh, is it the sequel to it?
I believe so, yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
What I remember from that one, he's in it, and this lady maces the terrorist, like some communist guy, and he, like, the mace didn't do nothing to him. It was, like, hilarious. I'm like, damn, that motherfucker's a badass. They just maced him, and he didn't even go down. He didn't even fucking blink, and he just snatches the mace away from her, and I'm just like, damn. And but the train's going, and he's like, he's just working on there, some bullshit. I forgot. I haven't seen those movies like in 30 years, but yeah. I just remember they moved from a boat and then they went to a train.
Right. This Jason guy, he usually does good movies or at least half entertaining movies. This one, I probably would put it closer to the lower end of his, you know, movie collage of stuff that he's done. But it was okay. I don't know if I would recommend it for people out there. I know it was filmed during the pandemic time, so I know there was probably a lot of restrictions, difficulty filming certain scenes. So I don't know if that's to contribute to it. Maybe it's just poor editing where I got lost. And, you know, typically I follow movies pretty well. As far as that goes. So I really don't know what disconnected me from this movie for maybe being a little higher on it.
Did you watch it with Alana?
Yeah, I watched it with her.
Does she like those movies?
She typically likes these action-y movies. I mean, we do gravitate to stuff like that. I mean, who doesn't like a good action movie? A drama movie, you could maybe get delved into some kind of weepish theme, and it might not have a payoff at the end, but a good action movie, it's either going to be great and you're going to be like, wow, this is a great action movie, or it's going to fall into like this B tier where you're like, it's not a great movie, but it's good because it's bad, you know, kind of thing. So you know, an action movie I think is a lot more forgiving in that way. And you know, sort of. Go ahead.
So real quick, it's, you know, in the B movies, I know it, I have a Hulu account. I don't know if you still have yours.
Right.
There's yeah, a ton of fucking B movies with like people who were in like Marvel movies and they're like the leads, and there's like a shit ton of them. And that you see also a lot of like Dolph Lundgren and like the older 80s guys still doing some of those. And like Batista has a couple B movies that I saw on there that are kind of new. And those were, like, not released in theaters, but those were, like, straight to video or streaming releases. And I'm just like, man, I should watch this. But I'm like, nah, man, I'm good right now.
Right, right. Yeah, I was actually going to watch yesterday, but then Junior wanted to watch something else. But I was going to watch that Army of Darkness, I think is the name of it, with Bautista in it. Where he's yeah. like a mercenary yes. trying to go into a like a safe or something.
That's the one. That's the thing I saw. I'm like, oh, this motherfucker made a Batista. He's like in Guardians, and he was in Blade Runner, the sequel. I think he was in like all these top movies, and he does those B movies. And I'm just like, oh, there's yeah. I think I saw. That's what I'm saying. I saw a Batista movie. I think it was on Hulu, and I'm like, oh, like it's probably just like him. I don't know. I'm like, is he just like in for like 20 minutes and somebody else, or is it like he's the whole fucking movie? Because I've gotten burnt like that where I see like this guy, and he's only in there for like 3 minutes, and then the rest of the movie is by everybody else.
Yeah, I didn't see it. I was gonna watch it, but then Junior wanted to watch that new Pixar movie Lunar or Luna or something like that. So we watched that instead. But I was ready to click go with that Army of Darkness, I believe is the name of the movie, with Bautista. And it looks pretty good, man. Or at least the commercial looks pretty good. I mean, it looks kind of over the top. You know, there's like zombie infestations or something. There's like zombies in this like Las Vegas desert, and they're trying to reach a casino safe or something like that. I think that's the basic premise of the movie. And so it's like a band of mercenaries trying to break into it. But I think it's in Netflix, to be honest. I don't think it's on Hulu. I'm sure he's got his own band of Hulu kind of B-movie tier stuff. But yeah, I think Netflix produced this one. And it does look interesting. I'll probably end up watching it maybe sometime. Army of Dead. That's where it's. Okay.
And then apparently this was a TV show, or a TV show is called Army of Dead Lost Vegas.
Oh, okay. So maybe it's a, you know, a continuation of a TV series that used to be in the past. I wasn't familiar with that. But yeah, it looks interesting. I'll probably watch it in these next couple of weeks or so. But back to Wrath of Man. It's an okay movie. I don't know if I would highly recommend it unless you're a Jason super fan or something. But I got lost. Maybe you guys could watch it and let me know that I'm an idiot and why did I get lost. But let's jump on to you, Andy. And there's some more drama in a movie that you watched. Concerning John Cena, man. Fill us in on this John Cena China controversy for a movie that he was in. Man,
I know Danny has different views, but it's just more of a America fucking bowing down to the Chinese. Well, mostly with the Fast and the Furious new movie, he's in it, and he was doing some like interview, and he mentioned that Taiwan is a country, and not, instead of saying it's a province of China, and the CCP China got really upset, and they threatened, from what I'm read, they said he must apologize, and otherwise we're not gonna let the movie air, we're not gonna let you guys show the movie in China and all this other shit. So it's that's why he went and did some like social media posts for China, Weibo or something, and he's like, he's talking in Mandarin, apologizing for his grave error, and then the Chinese made, this is like, this shows you what did they said, mention like, you know, this is how we're supposed to work together, you know, with compromise when people make mistakes or some shit, so. But going back to, they forced the apology, they forced the studio, they did it, and, you know, and people, mostly, like, you're right, like, conservative views are kind of upset, but he goes, and I quote, "I'm very, very, very sorry about my mistake. I apologize. I'm very sorry. My apologies." Jesus. And, so, yeah, and people are like, "Well, what the fuck's going on, man? Like, it's a simple mistake." And, yeah, it just, this guy, John Cena, I mean, big-time wrestler, you know, he very strong in the, he was in a movie called The Marine and shit, kicking ass, but he had to bow down to China, man.
So, you know, apologies. Let me give an apology up front. I apologize for my ignorance. But what's Thailand's relationship to China?
Taiwan.
Oh, I'm sorry, Taiwan. I'm sorry. Apologies for that. What's Thailand?
So Taiwan used to be connected with Britain. I read a book there. Come on, man. So there were like English watched them over for like, they had some like treaty or something for like 99 years. And when that came up, China's like, this shit's ours. It's always been ours. Your treaty's up. So they slowly started coming in there and trying to exert their muscle. And they have their own I want to say they have their own government. From what I understood, they have democratic leadership. People get voted into their government. They have local elections. And China's like, they've been like, you know, we're watching everything. And they're starting to exert more and more like, this is what's going to happen. And there's been protests, but no one really over here talks about it because they're all afraid of China with their money and power. So, so they're real upset that they John Cena called them a country, not a province.
So Taiwan is to China what Puerto Rico is to the U.S. sort of thing?
Something like that, yeah. But they're... it's something similar. I don't know the specifics, but right, I know they. It's always been its own country, but they had a deal with Britain. And when Britain that left, it was like a big fucking deal because China was like salivating. And they came in there and Taiwan's like, okay. And then from there, it's always been like a controversial because China is exerting its muscle there. And Taiwan is always like, we got our own thing going on, but not like, no, you got to be like fucking like us. See, well, referred that a free and thriving democratic island, which has a separate government since 1949. So, I mean, they've been, like I said, they've had a deal with, they always had a deal with the Brits, but when they left, it was like a big deal. I kind of remember seeing like, the Brits leaving, taking down the flag, like in CNN when I was a kid.
Wow. Well, see, just as you could see, I mean, John Cena seems like a pretty intelligent guy. But, I mean, I didn't know its relationship to China. So I could see how somebody could make a logical error in calling something a country or calling it a province. So I don't know what China is getting all flipped out about. I wouldn't have apologized to China. I would have apologized for my ignorance and not knowing the subject matter that I was talking about. So I think he went wrong about it, but I understand why he probably did it is because that the studio was just like, hey, man, we're going to get hit hard with this. So you got to apologize. John Cena's got enough money and clout that he doesn't need anymore. So I would have been like, look, man, I'm not apologizing to China. I'm going to apologize for my ignorance in the subject, but I'm not apologizing to them because it was just an innocent error. I mean, I didn't mean to like, hey, man, let me take a jab to China and say this comment. Well, at least that's the way my perception of it. But maybe maybe John Cena hates China. I don't know.
So it's always been like it's more and more public now. But for a while, the big thing was China funded like Hollywood because Hollywood ran out of people to invest in their movies. And China came in and they started funding shit. And if you pay, right? So you pay, you can make it. Have input and all this, and slowly over time, now it's like they're sick and tired of it. Where China makes demands, you can't do this in the movie, you can't make us look bad. And it's people are more and more vocal about it now because it's becoming an issue, and they're stifling we got our own issues, but they're restricting some freedom of speech here. And as soon as you disagree with them, they threaten to take your take the money. And that's why they bow down to them.
Yeah, like wasn't
the first thing I remember hearing about this was Red Dawn, the remake.
Exactly. That's what I was going
to
bring up.
It was supposed to be China, and they ran into whatever the studio. It got held up, and then they're like, we'll help you, but you got to change them to North Koreans. That's why it sat on the shelf forever, and then it finally got released, and it was like the movie was done for like 4 years or some goofy shit like that.
Right. I remember they had to like do CG for the flags, change out all the flags, change out the soldiers to be Korean soldiers now.
Yeah, it was a big thing. Yeah, it wasn't really made a big deal. I mean, people kind of talked about it. It was like blurbs, but that's what I feel like started this started like when they started exerting their muscle. South Park's made fun of it, where there was an episode where they wanted to them to be like that boy band group again, like the Koreans with like Cartman and all these, and they were singing a song and shit, and then they're like, they're stopping, and there's like a Chinese fucking general there. He goes, no, you need to do it like this and like that. And the director's like, well, this is, we feel like, no, this is what I want. Otherwise, I'll take my money. Oh, okay, okay. And they make the kids fucking change the song and shit. And like, it's fucking hilarious. I mean, South Park is pretty vocal about it. They also made fun of it too when the Stan's dad goes to China to sell weed and they piss him off, and Mickey Mouse is like, what the fuck, man? Who's fucking up my deal with the Chinese here? He's like, it's South Park, sir. He's like, do I own that yet? Do I fucking own South Park? And they're like, not yet, sir. And then, so yeah, because they don't, that's a big fucking market. And like, I heard another podcast talk about America is not the number one like movie shit. Like, that's why all the premieres are in China, because they go and watch the fucking movies. It's I think the opening weekend for the new Fast and Furious was like $160 million. And like, look at the numbers. So in the US it was 30 million opening. In China it was 130 million. Right. So they're like, we don't wanna fuck with that money.
Yeah, I mean, let's take a step back, Andy, and let's take China out of the equation. There's a big company that's investing money into a movie. Do they have a say into the content of the movie, since they're helping fund this project? Do you believe that they should have that ability to kind of influence what the subject matter is going to be?
They have some input, yes, but they can't. Ultimately, the studio makes that decision what the fuck do I know about making movies, but I'm assuming the studio and the director are gonna make that decision. But right now the problem is the studio system is like, it's so broke, it doesn't really have money. They can't get money to make fucking Star Trek movies, like all the bullshit that they went through that, and a lot of that early on, the early movies were financed through China. And even China says, like, we're not going to give you all this money. These movies ain't making that much money. You guys, like, overpromised and underdelivered. And so going back to, yeah, you can make, like, we're not cool with this shit. But, like, or they can have input in the movie. But what here, I think where it's really bad is they're like, we want fucking so-and-so to apologize publicly. I think that's where everybody got like, whoa, like you had like one of the stars of the movie come out and fucking apologize. And I think that's why everybody's like, what the fuck's going on here?
Right. I mean, I don't know, man.
Like, sponsors have always had input on shit. Like news people, like, we don't want to say that, certain drinks are bad for you because they might have commercials for those drinks during the fucking news press, you know, during the newscast. So it's like a fucking delicate line, man. It's very difficult. It's challenging.
Right. No, for sure. For sure. It I think it is a part of the integrity of the person that's accepting the money, but I can see how. Let's put us in this scenario. If we're paying money, or there's a company that are like, hey, man, we want to make this awesome movie. Give us money and we'll make this awesome movie. Do you want to have input in that? Because we're putting our own personal money into this idea. Do you want to have input and be like, you know what? I don't like it that you guys are talking about Mexicans are idiots. I want you to change that theme and you know, do it differently or do this other thing.
Make it Chinese or idiots.
Right.
CGI this shit up. Come on.
Right. Do you want to have that input or that? Do you think that would be right for you to put that change in?
No, I mean, all I'm doing is funding the movie, but I would want, me personally, I would want access to go see where the movie being shot and stuff like that. I mean, that's how I am personally. Today, people are a little bit more blunt and demand more. So, obviously, I don't want, if they're making, I would read the script first, you know, but yeah. And then, like, again, going back to the Cena, is not, they're not criticizing the movie. They're criticizing John Cena for one fucking sentence because he called Taiwan a country, not a province. And that's where all the fucking bullshit's going on. And like, right. China's like, okay, you know, that's cool. You don't want to do nothing. We won't show your movie here. And we'll probably never give you funding again. So they like fucking strong arm you. They threaten you to pull all your funding. And you're like, what the fuck am I going to do? I need their money to make more movies. And I need to be able to show my movie in China because this is like the number one fucking movie market right now. And they spent money to go to the movies.
Right, right. Yeah, I guess I'm not.
They're not
in the
criticizing
movie.
The content. They're criticizing the star for making I don't want to say a statement, and I don't think it was intentional. He just probably got mixed up, and they're upset from that one thing, like saying like, "Oh no, it's not a fucking country. It's a province. It's a province of China." Like that's what they're upset about.
Right,
it's
right. Like, in this circumstance, I think. They're totally wrong. They shouldn't have. I mean, the guy's just saying a comment. He's saying a comment in an interview.
He's promoting the movie, yeah.
Right, right. So he's just doing an interview. I guess I was going back more to because you had brought up that Red Dawn thing. I think China should have a say in that. They're investing their money. And if it was us investing into a company and they had Mexicans acting like jerk-offs, we could be like, hey, we don't want Mexicans seen in this kind of light. Change the movie. Otherwise, we're not giving you our money. And I think that's somewhat reasonable. Now, that's reasonable for us being the investors. But I also think it's reasonable for the movie company to be like, well, we're not changing it. F you and your money. We're going to find funding somewhere else. But movie companies aren't doing that. So I think it's shame on the movie companies more so than shame on the investors. Now, it is terrible that China is such a huge investor and they're going to put their will onto other people. I mean, in their own country, they ban a lot of internet websites, a lot of social media. There's a lot of stuff that they censor from their public. So if they do that in their own country and they're investing into other international things, what makes you think that they're not going to want to put that same reach out into whatever they're investing? I mean, to me, it's only natural.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Absolutely. Like, you want to protect your investment. So it's like me, like, you know, I've been investing through Robinhood, and I bought some AMC shares, and I got an email today or this week from Robinhood saying like, as an AMC shareholder, you're formally invited to this shareholder meeting so you could hear what AMC and you can voice whatever you want. Like, did you get that email then?
Yeah, I got
you guys,
that.
Right?
Yeah.
So I'm like, huh, this is interesting. Like, should I fucking sign up? And like, but what the fuck am I going to do, man? Like, nah, man, you guys should lower this. Like, they're not going to fucking listen to me because I'm like a very small fucking shareholder. But it's like that illusion, like I can fucking say something, you know? And right. So, I mean, I guess the old saying goes in Spanish, el que paga manda, that one who pays, you fucking dictate what you want. So in this case, yeah, I was it a little over, and they weren't shitting the movie. They were shitting on John Cena. And unfortunately, they bowed down to that. Because it got a little too political, and I'm gonna tell you what someone tells me. It wasn't intentional, so it was kind of shocking to see the Marine hustle, loyalty, and respect bow down to China. It was kind of rough to see.
Right. No, I understand what you're saying. I don't think the studio should have made John Cena do anything. I think this is where we need to put the onus on the correct party. And I get it. China is putting their will out there, and I don't like it either. But if you don't like it, don't accept their money. That's the way you shut them out. You don't accept their money. You make a smaller movie that doesn't need to have their hand in the cookie jar. Then that way you can keep your integrity in your movie, and you make the movie that you want, and you don't have to worry about China telling you this is the way you need to make it. So I think that's sort of the solution. I know it's difficult because, like you said, China has a big funding arm into the movie industry, and these movie companies are looking for money. So, I mean, they're going to do what they got to do to try to get the funding they can get.
Yeah. You know, speaking of movies, the other thing, I've always loved going to the movies in the summer because that's when all the blockbusters come out. And reviewing this year's summer, I mean, I know we're coming out of the pandemic, and with the streaming, it's just, man, there is nothing that I want to see. I mean, there's a couple things I wouldn't mind checking out, but overall, it's pretty lackluster. And we'll see what happens, man, because it sucks, dude. And there's nothing. I think I might want to check out like Dune and like I didn't watch the Mortal Kombat. I don't want to see the Scarlet movie. This just sucks. And I don't know what you're thinking then, but it's pretty much been kind of disappointing. I was searching it the other day and like, you know, this shit, there's nothing I want to see.
Yeah, I'm not really sure what's coming out. With all this pandemic stuff, I've kind of given the movie industry a pass for this year. And I don't think it's going to be back to normal sort of thing until next year. So I'm not really looking forward to anything coming to the movie theaters, any kind of new movies at least.
So real quick, like this is like Vox has this list for like from Memorial Day to Labor Day. A Quiet Place Part 2. Like, yeah, the first one was all right, but I'm like, I don't want to see that in the theater.
It's pretty interesting.
What else they got? Cruella. Yeah. Into the Heights, the new musical. They just had some problems because they're saying that he didn't put enough Afro-Latinos. It wasn't diverse enough. He had to apologize for that. I guess you just watched Luca, right?
Right.
F9, the movie we just talked about. What else they got here? Summer of Soul. Black Widow, right?
Black Widow.
Space Jam. No.
Space Jam. Snake Eyes coming out.
Snake Eyes, yeah. I mean, eh.
It's probably not going to be great, but I think I'd be interested in checking it.
Yeah. So maybe the one, maybe I want to check out Suicide Squad, but it's going to be on HBO Max. I'm debating if I want to see that in the theater.
I got the remake of Candyman.
Yeah. I saw they're making a new Saw and like, right. Nah, I'm good. Like,
they got saying, the new Venom coming out.
I haven't even watched the first one, dude.
They got that No Time to Die, the James Bond movie coming out. The Dune movie's coming out this year. Halloween Kills, the sequel to Halloween 2, the reboot. Yeah, man, it's not terrible. But, I mean, there's nothing like super, super good. You got the Ghostbuster movie coming out this year.
That was supposed to come out, like, I think last year.
Right, but, you know, with the whole pandemic, Andy, I think we really have to kind of give a break to a lot of these studios. It's difficult to film when people have to wear masks. I mean, look at that Tom Cruise movie. I don't know if it was the Maverick one that had got
on sequel.
Well, I know that got delayed, but I don't know which one he's filming right now. But whatever new movie he's filming at the moment, it got delayed because there was an outbreak of COVID through some of the, you know, supporting stars or some of the crew or something. So it's difficult, man. It's difficult to film movies in this atmosphere. Now that vaccines are becoming more common, I think it's going to start going away. But for now, I think this is just the par of the course.
We'll see, man. Let us know what you guys are looking to check out. And I'm not talking about streaming at the house, like going to a fucking movie theater. I mean, our local movie theater here is opened up. And I see cars there every day. It's not like how it used to be. And usually in the summer, the weekend was fucking packed. But there isn't much. I mean, the only other one maybe I want to check out, but I don't want to see in the theater, is The Conjuring, the new Conjuring movie.
Right.
But my wife doesn't really like that. So, and then The Suicide Squad and like Dune. And those are Warner Brothers movies. So they're going to be on HBO Max. So I think the Dune... I got to see some reviews on it because Dune's always been weird. The books are awesome, but the movies have been lackluster. Even the 80s one and the sci-fi miniseries they had back in the day were pretty good. It was made on a budget, but overall it was pretty good. So we'll see what happens. I got to, you know, let us know what you guys are going to watch. If you're going to go at ffnquestions@gmail.com. You're willing to risk if you're vaccinated, you know, are you guys going to check it out or not? What you guys plans for your summer movies that you must watch, let us know. But speaking of that, we're going to go, this is going to take us into our article of the week. So as Danny mentioned earlier, I picked this article because, you know, we're talking about John Cena and the repressive regime of China, and they have their, like, this stronghold on the internet. This article is from Fox News. You know, I love Barstool Sports. I don't know how you feel about it, but especially El Presidente Dave Portnoy. For whatever reason, he got suspended from Twitter. Like, who doesn't Twitter suspend lately? He got suspended on Friday evening in... his name started trending to like free Dave Portnoy. And then like a couple hours later, his suspension was lifted. And I mean, you know about Dave Portnoy, right?
Yeah, yeah. I'm a huge fan of his pizza reviews. He does one bite. Yeah, one bite. Everybody knows the rules. And they're great, man. I love it when he does Chicago and does his pizza reviews here. And, you know, I kind of see him as like a free spirit kind of guy. He never really gave a shit about what people think. He's just done what feels right and tries to do what's right. You know, I think it, for the most part, try not to hurt people and just tries to have fun and make money. And I kind of like that spirit, you know, even though sometimes he does come off like an asshole. But
it's who cares? Yeah, I mean, he's a fucking asshole, but. Did you see when he was in Chicago at Barstool Chicago, they took him to Gene and Jude's?
Yeah, I saw his Gene and Jude review.
And he's like, it's just a hot dog.
Yeah,
fuck you, dude.
Yeah, he did a couple of local spots here, places that I've gone to eat. And, yeah. You know, and it's good to see his review on it. And maybe it is overreacting because, man, sometimes I eat these pizza and I'm like, man, this is good. But if he says it's like, a 7 and he's eating 8s and 9s, it makes me wonder, like, I want to taste that 8 and 9 and see if it's really that much better.
And then they took him to Johnny's or whatever over on
right
on the north beef, and he's like, beef, hey, it's a Polish sandwich, like it's all right, like that's just awesome. He's like, man, I said it's all right, all right, it's like it's right. Nothing, I've had some good ones, all right, this is up there, but it's nothing like goddamn. And then like the guy, the Barstool Chicago guys were getting fucking upset and shit. It was fucking hilarious.
Well, I think he is a little harsh just because...
I think he's just being a dick because they're all excited and he knew.
Well, I think the other part is that their studio is located close to downtown because that's what he is. He's a downtown kind of guy. So for him to drive out half an hour, 40 minutes to go get a beef or a hot dog, I could see where he's going to be like, you drove me out here 40 minutes for this hot dog? It's just like, dude, it's okay. But it's not 40 minutes okay. And it's just like, I get it. But I currently live like 10 minutes away from Gin and Jude's. And I ate a Gin and Jude's hot dog yesterday. And to me, it was the best shit ever, man.
It's awesome. If you're Chicago, it's a must have.
Yeah, I bought 3 of them, ate one there, and just I'm looking forward to the other two. I'm like, man, I'm going to heat this bitch up. And it's not going to be as good heated up, but it's still going to be good, man. And I can't wait.
my wife, who grew up out here in the sticks, and I moved out here, and when we were dating, I took her there, and she was like, this is amazing. Like, this is the best hot dog I've ever had in my life. I'm like, yeah, it's pretty good. And like, and when I was growing up, I wasn't crazy about them. When I got older, I fell in love with them. But yeah, it's pretty good. It's a Chicago staple, but the way Portnoy reacted to it, just it's like he's just being an asshole to be an asshole. But yeah, anyways, getting back to the article, so he gets suspended. He was down for a couple hours, and then in the Fox article, they write, "While it's unclear why Portnoy's account was suspended, Twitter users suspect it was over a tweet he sent earlier in the day during a spat with another user, which he wrote, 'Let me drop my nuts on your head.'" He goes, "When asked if this might be the reason for his suspension, Portnoy told Fox News, 'The man deserved his harsh comeback, and I would get suspended 100 times over to prove my point.'" So he goes, what did they write? Barstool Sports put out a tweet reacting to Portnoy's initial suspension, "Free Portnoy." And they tweeted at Jack Dorsey. And then bullshit. Yeah.
He's got 2.5 million followers on Twitter, and I think the whole wave of people hashtag free Portnoy, I think it grew some traction, and I think Twitter is just like, holy shit, this is a lot, and they reversed it. Because to me, his comment is not that big of a deal. I don't see why it's not an egregious comment. And what I like is when Portnoy got his Twitter reinstated, he tweeted out, "I'm back," and then he tweeted the Ric Flair
promo.
Yeah. Holy shit.
I mean, it just goes into a bigger problem, which, I mean, we're not going to solve it here, but big tech has issues. They're being selective, and they just, someone did it, and I mean, that's what's going on right now here in America, especially with them suspending people or putting them on hold and not really like this clear reason why. And Portnoy, he is controversial. He does do stupid shit. It's hilarious, he's an alpha male. He's going to be an asshole. And if you ever heard his podcast, when he does interviews, he's unrelenting, and he's just too, if he feels he's right, he's just going to fucking give it to you. I mean, one of the things that sticks out to my mind, his pizza when during the quarantine, he was getting all these pizzas delivered to the house, and
yeah, frozen
people were
pizzas.
Like, "Hey, review these pizzas," and he went into it with Jack's Pizza. And then, because my wife got into him for a while, like, "Why is he reviewing all these pizzas?" Like, I don't know, that's a shtick. And we were watching him review all these pizzas, and everybody's like, do Jack's. And Jack's is like, "Man, we're busy making pizzas. We don't got time to ship it out to you because there's a shortage." So someone sent them one, and he reviewed it. He just completely fucking ripped them. A new one on the fucking review. Me and my wife were like laughing and shit, and like, yeah, he was just being an asshole. He might have liked that, I don't know, but you could tell he was just being a dick.
Right? Yeah, I think his attitude rubs some people the wrong way, and I think that's why maybe some people don't like him. But getting to the subject of Twitter banning, you know, I find it hard to kind of justify it, but then at the same time, I try to take a step back and think myself as if it was my company, would I want to have the power to kick people out who are assholes and I don't like? And I want to lean towards, yes, you should be able to, because you're the company owner. And if you want to, unless you're a publicly traded company, I think you should be able to. You should be able to say, no, I don't like this person. I don't want him on my platform. I don't care what the reason is. He's out. But at the same time, I then take a step the other way and think, these are platforms that are really wide reached, and it's a huge way for people to communicate back and forth, and to be silenced in it, is that really right as well? So it's really difficult, man. It's really difficult to navigate what's right and what's wrong with this whole situation.
And just Twitter is a publicly traded company. It's a $60.85 a share. But the problem is with Twitter, and you're right, Danny, the problem is they claim to be inclusive and like hear all this bullshit, but more and more you see them, I won't say pick a fight, but they suspended or kicked out more people that lean to the right. And I mean, if you threaten somebody, obviously, but I've seen examples where the both left and the right threaten people, and generally they suspend or ban the person on the right than the person on the left. I mean, it's documented. I mean, but yeah, I mean, and I get what you're saying. It's just the problem is they come out to say like we're, you know, freedom of speech, and they have recently, especially with the elections, and Facebook got a little bit in trouble of that too, where they're like, oh, this is all bullshit. And then now a year later, it's coming out like the shit that they were saying is crazy was actually true, or it's the main reason, like, you know, the Wuhan lab leak. Before that, it was just some conspiracy theory. Now it's like people are leaning towards that, yeah, that's the case. So that's the problem where they're running into, and they need a better system. And I mean, when they went on Dorsey and Tim Pool were on Joe Rogan's podcast, that was the big debate. And you should rewatch that podcast or listen to it. It's pretty great how Tim Pool was giving them examples, and they really didn't know what the fuck he was talking about, but it's documented.
Right. Yeah, man. It's a tough circumstance. I really don't know what the answer is as far as a solution to so that everybody can be, you know, happy with each other. The other thing is I don't care for people and companies that do say that they're all inclusive and then they do shut out a certain vocal, you know, minority or majority or whoever they are. But if you are inclusive, you should allow all voices and all colors and all opinions to be voiced and shown. And I don't care for that either. I don't care for, oh, we accept everybody, but then you do shut down people. Now, that's difficult too, man. I mean, you want to be all inclusive, but then there's people that are like super blatantly racist, and it's difficult to... And not that Dave Point knows that. I'm just making a point. but, you know, there's people that are like people that are egregiously into one direction that you might not care for. But if you're accepted, should you just kind of mute that out and not really listen to it, but allow it to be said?
Right.
It's difficult, but I want to say, yeah, you got to leave those voices to be said, whether they're saying, I hate these people should die, this and that. Those voices, if you're all inclusive, should be voiced, regardless if you agree with it or not. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, let us know what you guys think. I mean, here we will listen, but don't mean... we got to fucking, you know, agree, but at least we'll hear you out and say, yeah, you're a stupid or you're crazy or, yeah, it makes sense, but.
Unless you're sending a check China, then fuck John Cena.
He fucked up. Yeah. Hey, man. We believe in capitalism, even if it costs us our freedom. But that's all the time we got this week, everybody. You know, if you want to send us a check to shill, it depends what we're shilling, but we'll see. But we want to thank you all for listening. Remember, you can follow Freeform Network on Facebook and Twitter at Freeform Network. Also, send your questions, suggestions, products to ffnquestions@gmail.com. There, we review, read, everything. So that's our main hub to connect to you guys. And also on Twitter, you know, check us out there. We're pretty reply to everybody. Except if you're bots. I see a lot of messages from bots. I'm like, hey, this is bullshit. But anyways, you know, check out our webpage, freeformnetwork.podbean.com. Everything, every fucking platform we're on that. It's on there's a link on that page. YouTube, Stitcher, Apple, I Spreaker. I mean, we're on everything, man. There's the new ones that Danny adds us to. I'm not even hip to them, but we're, you know, if you're on that platform, please like, subscribe, comment, share. That just helps us out in the long run. and you know, that we would appreciate that help. So thank you all for listening. This is Freeform Radio. We got Danny.
Yes, sir. Thank you for tuning in. We appreciate it. Yeah, like Andy said, hit that like and subscribe, man. It really helps our numbers. Thank you.
And it's all good, Andy. And you guys have a good time. I hope everyone has a good 4th of July when this episode drops. It'll be after the 4th. So we'll check you out next time, guys. Have a good good week.
That was cool, Dad.